Yep, she knows sports. Check out Brittany and Princess on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This duo gives it to you straight with no chaser. If you can handle it, tune in and get your sports news, opinions, and so much more every week from She Knows Sports. Intensity is not a perfume. Join us Thursdays on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Hello, hello, beautiful people. Welcome to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Come on now, you know what time it is. It's Thursday, 7
it's
p.m.
Thursday.
So, yes, it's me, your co-host, Brittany Jones, with my wonderful, great co-host, Miss Princess Cooper. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Every time we talk off air before the show, I always say, Brittany, it's Thursday. I love Thursdays, and I love Thursdays because it's the day before
Thursday.
Fridays, and
exactly.
We like it.
Exactly. It's the end of the week, and it's right before Thursday night football. Come on. Like, we have a great time. You hear us, talk to us first, and then you go watch some football. Come on. That's a great day.
That's a great day. That's a great start to your sports night, for sure.
Exactly. Great start to your weekend, because you got
what,
Friday, I think, is football. Saturday's college football. Basketball's back. And then Sunday, you got a day NFL football. So, come on now.
I love this time of year. I love it.
Exactly. All right, Princess. So, let's get into it. So, I know it's football season. But we got to hit basketball, and I don't want to leave out my girls, okay, because we don't talk about the WNBA enough. We got to shout out the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the WNBA Finals, Chicago Sky versus the Phoenix Mercury, Candace Parker versus Brittany Griner. They are looking good. I swear, they are really looking good. Now, the series is tied 1-1. I believe it's best out of five for the WNBA. Phoenix Mercury took this game 91-86 in overtime. You know what? I get a little upset. I'm not going to lie to you, because I don't think the WNBA or women's sports as a whole get enough likes. Does that make sense? Like, we don't get enough attention, and we need more of it.
But, Brittany, I love that the WNBA has come to this point, because I remember feeling antsy, and it's been quite some time now. The WNBA is probably anniversary 20, 25 years. I remember thinking, oh, man, it's not going to last, and I really love it. And I remember going to some games initially, and I still go when I can. So the fact that the NBA players, the Phoenix Suns, Chris Paul and Crowder and Booker, the fact that they were front row and center last night was positive for me. Can we do more? Of course we can. But the WNBA, the Phoenix Mercury, that stadium was filled last night. That in itself is so much progress. The game of women and how we play basketball has elevated to a astronomical level. I love the play of women basketball now. I can watch it. And I didn't know that the game went into overtime. I knew that the Phoenix had pulled ahead, and then I had to go ahead and get it into a conference call that late. But that is John's favorite thing to do, is watch the WNBA. He said, baby, they're doing a crossover. They're doing a pick and roll. And I said, it's come a long way. Oh, my God, he said, Brittany Griner dunked the ball. So do we need to shine it more? Of course we do. Every time we can, we need to talk about our fellow females and how well they are playing this game. And kudos to them. It is top 1-1. When I saw the first game, which I watched the entirety, I thought Chicago was going to run away with the series. But credit to Brittany Griner and Taurasi and that crew for tying it up 1-1. Congratulations to Diana Taurasi for her baby. Her wife just had a baby, so congratulations to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to be so holy and Christian. I love to see people happy, and whatever love that you have, please have it. I love to see that. So congratulations, females, girl power for sure. And, yes, let's shine some more light onto them, whatever we can.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you, I fell in love with basketball when I first seen Teresa Witherspoon with my favorite team, the New York Liberties. That was my favorite player of all time in the WNBA. And that's when I was like, I want to play some basketball. You know, the way she would dribble the ball, her handles. And if anybody out there, WNBA fans from way back then, you know Teresa Witherspoon. Like, she was, she was, to me, the AI of the WNBA. That's how I looked at her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yes, we definitely have to shine more light. They definitely need to get paid more, because I was looking at some of the salaries they get paid, and you're just like, wow, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then do what they're doing with the NBA. Take it overseas, you know? You got little girls, women all across this world that want to play basketball, and they want to play in the WNBA because, the NBA, WNBA sports in America is like some of the biggest sports in the world, you know, outside of soccer. So we definitely have to support the WNBA and really, grow. Hopefully it grows a lot more and a lot faster. But as far as the game, the game was very good.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome. The level of play is just, it makes you want to watch, and the skill level is just beyond. And I just fell in love with Skye Diggins when she was at Notre Dame, and to see her evolve. She's changed teams, of course, and gotten married, and she still has made herself a part of that big three, with the Brittany Griner, Skye, and then of course Taurasi. So and you said take it overseas. For a moment there, I was going to say, but it is overseas. But I see what you're saying. The NBA actually takes their brand. The NBA actually takes their brand overseas and marketed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the WNBA, actually, their players go over there to make money. In their offseason, they head overseas. So we need to take the brand over and expand it too, just like they've done with the NBA. I agree with you. I like that, Brittany.
Yeah, exactly. And I know in time it will get there in due time, but when you hear, these NBA players making $200 million supermax deals, over the course of four or 5 years, and then you hear the WNBA players, lucky if they make $90,000 in a year. A lot of these players, like you said, they have to go overseas and play some more basketball. They can't rest like some of these NBA guys do. And the one thing I do
where they
like
can command $300,000 or $400,000 in a contract, they can command that over here. But a lot of these players aren't getting $100,000 to play over here, and that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I will say one thing. The one thing I like about the WNBA versus the NBA, because a lot of times the NBA focus on so much athleticism, they forget about the fundamentals of basketball. The WNBA, because, most females can't dunk outside of the tall girls or whatnot, they really focus on their tech fundamental of basketball. So those people who really love the game of basketball and how it was meant to be played, watch the WNBA, and that brand in itself will grow. Because the way them girls are playing, I might have to suit up. You think I can suit up? Am I too old? I don't know if I'm too old now, but I might have to suit up again. They get me excited.
Taurasi has got to be older than you for sure, so you can still suit up. You probably have some eligibility in the professional league for sure. But awesome for the WNBA. Thank you, ladies, for making this an excellent finals, and I can't wait to watch game three.
Exactly. I am still going with Chicago Sky to win it. I know they lost this last game, but if something with Chicago, I think they're going to take this. They're going to definitely take this series, I feel like. And Candace Parker, she's determined to bring one home. She just seems determined.
I'm cheering for Ace. So. I'm cheering for Ace to win another one, for sure.
All right, so now that we got through the WNBA, now we got to switch it back over to the NBA. I know we talked about this last week, Princess, regarding Kyrie Irving and his status with the vaccination. But now it's really affecting him and the team because the Nets reportedly decided not to offer him that $187 million contract extension. They took it away. So this impacts the team in itself and maybe the future of the team.
Well, not only did they take it away, they took away his ability to come to the facility, to practice, to participate with the team, to interact with the team, or to play until he becomes eligible. And eligible in the state of New York is to get vaccinated. So there's so much to unpack here, but I will say this. Someone said the other day that I've never heard that Kyrie was a great teammate. We've always known that he has great skill and can play basketball. And he, of course, hit that famous shot with the Cleveland Cavaliers and catapulted them to a NBA Finals championship. So he's been effective everywhere he's gone. But he's also been a little strange, and I think we talked about it on some of the other shows this week. He's been a little strange to me, and and he seems to have left his teammates in the lurch here for the Brooklyn Nets to come clean and said, hey, we're pulling your offer. We're also saying to you, until you get eligible, we're not, you know, allowing you to interact with the team, come to the facilities, practice, none of that. So I think they had to come clean and do that. The coach of the Brooklyn Nets, which I forgot his name right now, I can see him just as well. He played for the Phoenix Suns.
Steve Nash.
Nash said that the decision was a difficult one, but it's sound. And that's basically all we can see is that, okay, so now Kyrie, stop treating the Brooklyn Nets like you're paying them. They're actually paying you. They're your employer. And you're going to have to make a decision. You convince Kevin Durant to come to Brooklyn. You got James Harden. You have the pieces now to win a championship or at least go deep into the playoffs, into the finals. It's all on you. And kudos to the Brooklyn Nets for acting like an employer and doing the right thing.
Exactly. I you know what? Kyrie Irving is a headache in my mind. He really honestly is a headache. And granted, I understand he has to think about himself, his family, so forth. They have to make their decision. I understand it. But sometimes you have an opportunity. He has an opportunity, you know, to bring a championship to the city of Brooklyn, which they need. Like you said, he convinced Kevin Durant to come to Brooklyn. I don't know if Kevin Durant really wanted to come to Brooklyn. So he convinced him to come there. So I know Kevin Durant is a little frustrated. He may say, hey, that's my friend. I support him. But reality is he's frustrated. He signed this extension or this max deal with Brooklyn, so he's basically stuck, you know. And the major issue here is because of all this basically drama situation, James Harden is on his last year. So next year he is a free agent. And my understanding is that Daryl Morey, as you well know, has a great relationship with James Harden. And because Ben Simmons, doesn't want to be in Philadelphia, guess who they're going to think about going after? James Harden, to pair him up with Joel Embiid. So the Nets, in my opinion, if they don't get this figured out, if Kyrie Irving does not get vaccinated or, you know, they come to some sort of agreement here, the Nets are in trouble. Their future are in trouble. And then what's going to happen now is you're going to have a disgruntled Kevin Durant because he wants to win. You know, he's still young enough to want to win more championships. So this I hope this doesn't last long, but this is not looking good as of right now. And you can kind of see, I understand it's only preseason, but you can still see the impact it can cause or it's causing with because Kyrie Irving is not there, you know. Now teams play you a little bit different. Now they can focus more just on the two people because, let's be honest, Blake Griffin is not what he was once was. He still has some talent, but he's not what he once was. The big man, I can't think of his name, Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yes. he's not what he once was. And he was a talented center, but he's older. He doesn't move as well anymore. So this is I don't see this going well for the Nets. I honestly don't.
I'm going to button this up with, you know, Kyrie said he's doing his own research on the vaccine, and he's trying to give a voice to the voiceless who is against the vaccine or whatever, although he's not against the vaccine. First of all, he sounds confusing, but the people that are deciding not to take this, I don't understand. None of us know the exact makeup of Tylenol. But we do it. We don't even know what the exact makeup of Crown or Cavassier, and I don't drink any of that stuff. But I see, you know, and we now are so technical with the vaccine, and I think we're putting ourselves in jeopardy, our health in jeopardy, those around us, and we're sending the wrong message. But I hope that in your research, you have doctors and scientists in your circle that are doing some research for you. But right now, it just seems like a whole bunch of crazy stuff. Come on, Kyrie. Look beyond you and do something for your teammates.
And that's what I think people need to understand. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what people need to understand. Like, people take this COVID to me, not everybody. There's been over, I believe, 750,000 people alone in the United States that passed away from COVID. 750,
exactly.
That's a lot of people. And many more caught the cases. And a lot more are still sitting in that hospital. Like, this is something serious. And even millions have died across the world. So this is something serious, and he needs to look at that and really pay attention and stop thinking about himself. You know, when it first came out, the vaccine, I was a little nervous too, I'm not going to lie. But I said, you know what, I have to put myself and how I feel to the side and think about people I love, like my family, you know. I don't want to impact them, my coworkers, my friends, whoever else I'm surrounded by, to make sure all of us are safe. So, and that's what I need Kyrie to think about and those who don't want to get it to think about. If not, if you don't want to get it, then stay in the house, please.
yeah. You know, Brittany, I was a little bit different. I couldn't wait. I followed this process, you know, during 2020 and when it became available. Actually, you know, the process started in 2019, and then 2020 we started getting some emergency approvals. So from the get-go, I was like, whenever it's my turn, whenever they get to my age group, I'm going to get it. And Reverend Robinson was like, let me know how that works out. And we ended up actually going together and getting the first and the second shots. You know, a little bit of symptoms the first time, more soreness in my arm than anything. But people get vaccinated. Get vaccinated, please.
I was nervous until someone came to me because I was like, it was just too fast. You know, and then she said, this woman, stranger, came up to me and said, this is not 1918, sweetie. This is 2021. The technology and resources that we have allow for us to create something that fast and be effective. And I was like, you know what? You got a point. And I was like, I went and got it. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Amen.
Anyway, people, like Princess said, go get vaccinated. Take care of yourself.
Get vaccinated.
Be healthy.
Take care of yourself.
Exactly.
Look out for your community. Look out for your fellow man. Let's try to create herd immunity for sure. Kevin is inboxing me and said the Miami Heat are going to win it all. Kevin Walker, let's talk with K-Walk. So the Miami Heat are going to win it all with or without Kyrie in the league. So there's Kevin. He's already chiming in. I love it. And
Kevin,
you know what he says, that vaccine is a no-brainer.
That weed.
No.
You think Miami Heat won it all? I'm just kidding. All right, guys. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into our break now. When we come back, we're going to get into NFL because we got to get to that Thursday night football. Absolutely. You know whose teams it is, the Bucks versus my team, the Eagles. But you are listening to CNO Sports with Brittany and Princess on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
You're listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. Make sure to find us on Facebook at She Knows Sports and Instagram as the same. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to She Knows Sports on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Again, I'm Brittany Jones here with my awesome co-host, Miss Princess Cooper. I do want to shout out K-Walk. I was just joking. I know you ain't never touched no weed. Just saying. but let's get into some football.
K-Walk.
Yes, we do. Let's get into some football. Before we get into Thursday night football, I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick. There has been reports out there again that he wants to play football and he's working out. He's ready for a potential NFL return. What do you think about that? Do you think he still got it or do you think he just needs to stay to the side?
You know, Brittany, I heard that and I read that. I didn't hear it. And I'm thinking, wow, does he still have, I don't know his age right now. He's probably 35. Somewhere in there. So, and it's not like he didn't have enough. He still has his football legs because he hadn't played in quite some time. I hope that somebody picks him up. You know, good for you, Colin Kaepernick. Good for you. I hope that somebody has I was going to say balls, but I'm not going to say that. picks you up. and that you still perform and do well in the NFL. You still have a lot of years that you can play that I'm sure. I was looking to see here. He's 33. Wow, he's still very young.
Still young.
Still very young. Good for you, Colin Kaepernick.
They should absolutely give him a chance. Absolutely. Why not? There's some teams out here that I look at and I'm like, man, you definitely need a better quarterback. Now, how can he perform? I'm not sure, but that's what, you know, practice is about. Just try him out. See what happens. You know, because you never know. Because to be honest with you, he should never have been blackballed or whatnot from the NFL in the first place. He stood up for what he believed in, and what he believed in wasn't wrong. But because people didn't necessarily agree, NFL owners, I will say it because that's exactly who it was, people in the media.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that caused him to get kicked out. Why? Why is it that, and I'm going to say this, why is it that everybody who stands up for something that's right, to help people, to ensure that all people have equal rights, equality, why is it that they get crucified? And then the people who hurt other people are left alone. They can continue to do what they were doing. I don't understand that. And we have seen it time and time again in history. So in my opinion, absolutely give Colin Kaepernick an opportunity to play in the NFL. Even if he's a third string quarterback, why not? He may be sitting on the bench just helping one of the young guys in the locker room. That's how I honestly feel.
Well, yeah, I would assume that money is not an issue with the huge contract that he got from Nike. I would assume that money is not the issue and that the desire to still play in the NFL and the call to be around teammates again is that. Kevin Walker thinks that, you know, he's past his time and that, you know, that has moved on. But and I probably agree. At 33, the game has probably changed a lot since he played. It's been 4 years now, or at least 3 years, I'm sure, since he played. And the owners did get together and collaborate and say, hey, we're not gonna touch him. And you know, I think more than anything, the brand or the marketing or the campaign to say it's about the flag, it's about the national anthem. He shouldn't protest during then. So you don't, you're going to tell us that, okay, if you're going to protest, here's when we want you to protest, and you can't protest here. That's the art of protesting, is to protest when you have the time to do it, the availability, and the most exposure. And who cares about the national anthem like that? I love America, too, and what it has done for my life and my journey. But the national anthem has its own awful tones to it and some verses that they've taken out of it, you know, so I don't want to hear that foolishness about the anthem. And if sometimes when I am at events now and I don't feel like standing for the national anthem, I don't. And that's my natural right to, you know, but I want to see him succeed. But we know the element of the NFL made this about the American and national anthem. And just one more point, Brittany. The NFL never played the national anthem with players out on the field. They asked the players to come on the field after 9/11. They wanted to have a unified presence. They wanted to make this whole big deal of the national anthem being played and planes flying over. So, and that started, I think, 2011. But the NFL got together with politicians and they said, hey, let's show a sign of unity and have the players come out. Before then, they didn't come out. So we're not politicizing, or Kaepernick didn't politicize the NFL. The NFL did that themselves. If we go back and see the history, this is not about the national anthem, guys. This is about a young man that felt some type of way, took a stand, and I applaud him for sure.
Exactly. And this is my thing when it comes to Colin Kaepernick. First, I do want to mention Kay Walk about saying, you know, it may be too long, but how long was Michael Vick out? Michael Vick was out of the NFL for a long time, and he came back, struggled the first so many games, but next thing you know, he's back to almost the old Michael Vick, you know, when he came back for the Eagles. So I think as long as he stays fit, as long as he practices, he's doing what he's supposed to do, I think he'll be fine. I think he could succeed. And I'm not saying, you know, be the superstar quarterback that he once was, but at least be a productive or a manager of the game. Right. But I will say this about Colin Kaepernick. Prior to him kneeling during the national anthem, he went to someone, and this is how a respectable man he is. I would say younger man, but we're around the same age. he went to someone in the military and said, I do not want to disrespect the flag. I do not want to disrespect our nation. What is the appropriate way to protest? And the military man said to him, kneeling is not going against our flag or national anthem. So that's why he started to kneel. A lot of people don't understand it. He went out of his way to ask someone this. So for the media, the NFL to crucify him, and he did it the right way. So that's my issue. That's my issue.
I completely agree. Again, the NFL went full force into their whole campaign and say, well, it's not about us. It's about the flag and the national anthem, you know, and it's a disrespect to the flag. Whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever, whatever.
Anyway, so I'm hoping Colin Kaepernick can get back to where he wants to be. He loves football. At the same time, he's still fighting for what he believes in, and I respect him for that. Colin Kaepernick, you have my full support on that. But, Princess, we got to get into this Thursday night football real quick because it's my team, the Philadelphia Eagles versus those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who do you think is going to win this one?
The Buccaneers.
Okay.
Brittany. Now, I think that Jalen Hurts showed a lot of moxie against the Panthers last week, and they pulled that out, and they look really well doing it. If they were at home, are they at home? I thought the Buccaneers were at home.
Eagles are at home.
Eagles are at home. Then I give them I give them a better shot, Brittany. I take that back. I just still don't think that overall, if I'm looking at this game, you got to give the edge, and I don't know what the line is, to the Buccaneers. But Jalen Hurts is showing me that he belongs, and I don't want to keep saying that because I heard someone say it, and it's so true, one of the guys on ESPN. We can't continue to make every play a referendum on Jalen Hurts' career in the NFL. We don't do it with other quarterbacks. We should stop doing it with him. He belongs. He looks good, and he's making good decisions, and they got to win. And good for them. Thursday night game at home.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Look, as much everybody knows I'm a Philadelphia fanatic, Eagles is my team, but I have to be realistic here. This is a tough one because you are going against Tom Brady, and we know how Tom Brady is. He performs regardless of age. I'm not sure if the Eagles will take this one, so I am going with the Bucks. My Eagles people, please don't kill me because I'm hoping I'm wrong, and I'm hoping the Eagles will pull this one out and shock the NFL. That's what I'm hoping. But reality is just the play calling from the last so many weeks. The penalties, I think we lead the league in penalties right now. Get ready to make history.
Wow.
And it's a lot of young players. We still got to – it's not there yet. It's not there.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can potentially do something with this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense as far as the passing game. So somehow Nick Sirianni can create create a game around throwing the ball with the cornerbacks, just trying to attack them a little bit more, but still run the ball. I don't need him to get to not run the ball because that's been his issue. I think we can make this competitive. That's what I'm hoping for, and I'm hoping that our offense, our defensive line with Josh Sweat and Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave, I'm hoping we can put some pressure on Tom Brady because that's really the only way to try to beat him. I know Tampa Bay's offensive line is not the strongest, but they do have some great receivers in Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin. So, but I am going to go with the Bucs on this. I'm just hoping it's a close, competitive game and not a blowout.
Well, congratulations to the Sports Talk host, Brittany Jones. Following her mind and then saying what she wants with her heart, but following her mind in this one. Kevin Walker says Bucks on the road, 27-18. I'm seeing 28-21 Buccaneers. But, that's why they play the game. That's why they play the game. Let's see what happens. And I really do want to see how the Philadelphia Eagles treat Jalen Hurts, if they're continuing to embrace him and what he's doing there versus what Carson Wentz doing. And, Brittany, before we take a break, and I know this is not on our schedule here, but Carson Wentz looked good this past weekend. That's the best I've seen him look. And I don't know what game, that was Monday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens. But Carson Wentz looked like he was the NFL quarterback and made a lot of good decisions, and he almost won that game. So, but I'm glad that the Eagles made the decision to move on from him, that Carson Wentz wanted to move on, and Jalen Hurts is an NFL quarterback.
Look, I mean, we all know how I probably feel about Carson Wentz, okay? I just think he just completely gave up. And don't get me wrong, it's hard to play in Philadelphia, like I said before. And it's not hard because we get on you because you stink. You know, you're not a good player. We get on you when we feel like you're not playing to your best. You're not giving it your all. So that's why Philadelphia gets on you, because you don't put the effort in behind it, and we could tell. Now, Carson, I always felt like he was a great quarterback, potential to be a future Hall of Famer. I was watching him the other day. He's still making a few mistakes as far as the fumbles and so forth. But, yeah, I think with the Colts, with Frank Wright, he'll do good over there. I'm just hoping they don't do great this year because we got that draft. So that's what I'm hoping for. but I do have the Bucs winning 28-24. I'm hoping it's close, but we'll see what happens. But we're going to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss more football and some more sports.
Yeah.
You are listening to She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
CampLyman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We build from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get offs, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLyman.com.
And we are back. We're back with Never Had So Good Sports Talk Radio. She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. And I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Brittany Jones. Thank you for being a part of the show. This is something I look forward to every Thursday, and we are bringing it to you. We even have a new segment that we're going to start doing, and that is we're going to elevate a female athlete every week. We're not sure what we're going to call that segment. Brittany and I are still working that out. But at the end of the show, we will tell you who our athlete is for this week, and we're going to do this every week. I think it's something that we can't do enough of. So this is my chance to talk about some things that I'm hot on, burning on, and I want to start out with John Gruden. When this all came out last Friday, Brittany, I'm like, oh, so, you know, what did he say? You know, they said he had a racial trope. So, well, let me just go read what he said. Oh, so he said that you know, Damaris Smith, and the president of the NFL Players Association, is basically just dumb, a dumbo. I think he used another term, and that his tires were bigger than his lips were bigger than Michelin tires. Let me not mess up that part. His lips were bigger than Michelin tires. So, The sports host, one of them, Tim Moore, said, well, you know, being called dumb is not a racial epithet. Okay, I agree with you. That's not racist.
Mm-hmm.
But saying that his lips look like whatever, that is. So, but I didn't know that the emails were plentiful until, of course, John Gruden said, you know, there probably are some more out there. I did hear that dog whistle. He was letting everybody know there's some more out there. But I thought that was it. Once I investigated to know that, hey, this all came out from the Washington football team, they were investigating them and their culture.
Yep.
And Daniel Snyder and all of these came out. And this is where John Gruden was sending his emails while he was on Monday Night Football. Brittany, your thoughts about all of this. First of all, your thoughts when you first heard it. And then give me your thoughts that the NFL said, hey, we're waiting on you, Mike Davis, to make a decision. Mike or Mark, I'm not for sure. But he is the son of Al Davis, the owner of the Raiders, now the Vegas Raiders. So your thoughts about this, and then your thoughts about how the NFL didn't let it get too far. This came out on Friday. On Monday Night Football, he was gone.
So my thoughts. When it first came out, I didn't really know. I was like, okay, they're emails. Why does everybody care about these emails? We just went through this with Hillary Clinton, right? Like, what is going on with these emails? I'm tired of emails. And then they started to get into, a little bit more into the emails about some of the things he was saying. And I was highly, highly disappointed, extremely disappointed, extremely hurt, because he understands the society that we live in now. He understands how his words can impact people in general, let alone his players. You know, you have African Americans playing for you. You have people from the LGBTQ, I apologize if I got that wrong, but I believe that's what it is, community playing with you. So it's just like, even put that aside, look at the human in front of you, you know? How do you feel this way about somebody? What nerve do you have to call somebody this? And understanding our history. So you as a man, I can't even look at you the same way anymore. You're supposed to be a leader of men. A leader of men. No, you're not. Like, what is wrong with you, right? I don't care what you didn't like. There's always an appropriate way to say something, and that was completely in the wrong. And then he came at the women referees as well. Like, it was a big problem that women are refereeing. And yes, yes.
He said the bees need to go.
Yes, he said the fact that there's now women referees. Like, that's really? And at one point, Ashley was like, oh, man, this guy is great. No, he's Chucky. Okay, Chucky need to sit down. And that's exactly what he did. All right? But as far as the owner of the Raiders, I'm even more disappointed because he should have been fired on the spot. You knew what was going on this whole time. It wasn't just when the media got hold of these emails. You knew long before, because NFL, they know what's going on. They just like to hide a lot of things. And once the media gets a hold of it, then they take action. So they knew what was going on. He should have been fired. There's no way this man should have said, I resign. That's a big difference. Absolutely not. So, yes, I'm very disappointed in John Gruden. I'm very disappointed in how the NFL handled it, and I'm very disappointed in how the owner of the Raiders handled it. And they all need to apologize to these people, shoot, to society as a whole. This is ridiculous.
I love myself some Jemele Hill. And Jemele Hill wrote a letter in The Atlantic that said there are a lot of John Grudens in the NFL. John Gruden is not the only one. And I agree. He talked about gays. He talked about how the NFL forced Cardinals to draft Michael Sam's. I think it was that's who he the team that drafted him. He talked about that. He talked about the referees and female referees and how the bees did not need to be there. He also made it a point to talk about President Obama, President Biden. You know, he didn't leave in. He operated, and he still is operating because he hasn't apologized. He's operating from a position of privilege, which he has had, and he's operating from a position of arrogance, and he's arrogant. And he was in a position to hire and fire and to make key decisions. Now I understand why Amari Cooper was traded to Dallas. Now I understand why Khalil Mack was let go, and several others. He came in there and wiped and cleaned house of those who did not agree or who he butted up against in the locker room, and he cleaned house. But now I understand where he was coming from, and that's a shame. But I agree. Thank you, Jemele Hill. There are a lot of John Grudens in the NFL, and maybe hopefully some others will surface. Demore Smith says he would like to see the emails released, all 650,000 of them, and he says, I'm sure that we'll find more of this kind of conversation, and I agree that we will. So, but go
one
ahead.
One more thing to this, and that's, he has the mentality of the NFL, if I could be honest. You know, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. We all know the NFL mentality. It's that slave type of mentality. And I'm
sorry
to say it. It's you do it my way, to fry the heck out of you type of way. And that's wrong.
Yeah.
So they're like, that needs to be changed. That's what happened with Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick did the right thing. He did the right thing. But the NFL seen it, no, you're supposed to do it how I say to do it, or you got to go.
That's right.
Like, come
That's
on.
Right.
We got to stop that. We got to stop it.
And Jerry Jones is going to force me to stop being a Dallas Cowboys fan. Or maybe I can just cheer for the team and not for the front office. I don't see how that goes. But they asked him his thoughts about this, and he gave John Gruden. He said he's done a lot for the game, and his spotlight on the game has been spot on. And he said nothing negative about John Gruden, nor did he address the comments. He didn't go there. He just made sure to speak positive about John Gruden's contribution and effect on the game, which, you know, I don't even know what I'm going to do with this. Like I said, he's going to force me to kind of rethink this. And Kevin Walker says we need more black owners. We just say that again.
So no.
I thought that's what you said. You know, my mind just kind of said, hey, did he just say something? That won't be happening. But I appreciate the invite. I'm going to try to stick it out here. Kevin Walker said we need more black owners. I don't think there's any African-American owners in the NFL, is there? Are there any minority owners? I didn't think so. So I would just settle for one, Kevin Walker. I would settle for one. Just, you know, just to get our feet wet. Not just GMs and scouts and team presidents, but, you know, just one. Yeah, Kevin just sent me a big zero. You're correct. I didn't think there was any at all, you know. So
I need all my rappers or entertainers, actors, actresses, so forth, these billionaire black men out here to get together and say, you know what, let's go get an NFL team to change this around because we got to do something. Mm-hmm. We see it in the NBA. There's black owners, minority owners, all in the NBA. I think there's in the MLB. We don't have not one in the NFL, and that's a problem.
That's a problem.
They're showing us what's wrong with society today.
Yeah, that's the problem right there. Let's take a small break, and we'll come back. We're going to get into some college football. And when we come back, I am going to talk about my Cowboys headed to the Patriots. We're going to squeeze that in before we move on to college football. I know that Brittany still wants to talk about that. She knows sports. Never had it so good. Sports Talk Radio. She knows sports with Brittany and Princess. We'll be right back.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
Never had it so good.
Never had it so good, sports radio. She knows sports with Brittany and Princess. I'm Princess with my co-host, Brittany. And, Brittany, I want to talk about my Cowboys. We got to talk about them headed to New England to play the Patriots. But before that, I really want to touch on and give you here, let's take a couple of minutes, because I cannot not mention how they handle the New York Giants and how that game – they looked kind of sketchy in the beginning. They were making mistakes, dropping the ball. They left some plays out there, but it was a dominant win, and they knocked Daniel Jones out of the game. I was really concerned about that and how he staggered around. That really got me.
Mm-hmm.
John said this is a man's sports, but I want to know your thoughts about the score. If you didn't see the game, your thoughts about that and the Cowboys at 4-1.
First of all, I just want to say this. You were playing the New York Giants, okay? You don't get kudos for playing the New York Giants, okay? We know the New York Giants ain't there. They not going to be there for a while. Saquon Barkley can't stay healthy to save his life. I don't know what's wrong with Daniel Jones. They just not together. So I expected you guys to dominate the New York Giants, okay? I'm going to get that out. All right.
Hold up, Brittany. Are you telling me? Hold up, Brittany. Are you telling me that when the Eagles play the New York Giants, you should beat them, but you're not going to even worry about taking that W because you're supposed to beat them, and we should just kick out that game right now?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying because
okay.
The Dallas Cowboys are supposedly a top-tier team in the NFL. And the New York Giants is a lower-tier team type of team. So I'm not going to hip-hip parade a Dallas Cowboys fan because you beat the New York Giants. Yeah, you're supposed to beat the Eagles. We're not there yet neither. We're trying to get there, right? So,
okay.
Now, if I put the fan thing aside here, I did see the game. I thought it was a great game. I thought the Cowboys did what they were supposed to. Ezekiel Elliott performed well. Dak Prescott has been lights out all year long. You guys did very, very well. I know in the beginning it's a little sketchy. I think the Giants got an interception on one of your first possessions. That was kind of a lucky interception because he tapped the ball, went in the air, so forth. But I knew where the Cowboys stand is, how talented they are versus where the Giants are right now. The Giants didn't have a chance at all. And then, like I said, Saquon Barkley, that was one of my favorite running backs coming out of Penn State. I still see so much talent in him. It's just that he can't stay on the field. And he is that offense. Without him, that offense kind of falls apart. That's kind of like a Christian McCaffrey situation in Carolina. You know, Dallas, y'all got just too many weapons. This is way too many weapons. That defense from the Giants, they can't keep up. It's hard. As you can see from the Giants, the Eagles, and a couple others, I will say the Cowboys are very good this year. But can you get it done? That's the question. Can you get it done?
Well, let's see if we can get it done. Let's see if we can at least make a deep run into the playoffs. It's obvious that we have a very high pirate offense, and it's obvious that Dan Quinn has made a difference as a defensive coordinator for our defense. Let's see where we can go with this. But each game, each week is a different element, and we continue to get hope. We're trying not to get too high. We're trying not to get too low, but we are enjoying this so far. And I'm enjoying seeing Dak Prescott at commanding that offensive line and his offense and making plays at the line and switching around. He looks good, and it's a joy to watch. I really try not to watch these games if they're too close. I can't do it. But if they're not, I watched this one, and John said, well, are they winning? I said, if I'm watching it, because once I know that Florida's getting looking bad, I turn. And the same thing with my Cowboys. So let's see where we can go with this. Okay?
That's
I'm going to leave it right there.
Against the Then you go against the Patriots.
Yeah, you know, go ahead and give me a prediction. Give me a prediction on that. You think we'll win? Mac Jones is up there, you know, and they won last week. I can't remember who they beat. So we're both coming off a win.
Yeah, I think, look, Bill Belichick has that defense on the Patriots performing very well because they almost beat Tampa Bay. Didn't quite get there. But their offense, I don't think it's just effective enough. And granted, Mac Jones is still young, and they have a lot of young players on that team. But I think Dallas is just too dominant. They're just too strong of a team. And I think Dallas is definitely going to win this month.
Yeah, Belichick, I've never been a Belichick fan, but you have to give him kudos as a coach. Mac Jones had a stint during that game against the Buccaneers. He had completed 17 passes in a row. So, you know, Mac Jones, he's made a good call at quarterback, which I didn't think he hadn't, you know. But I just don't think they have enough for Dallas Cowboys. But you'd have to think that Belichick is going to throw some defensive looks at Prescott that he hasn't seen. So we'll see about that. Kevin says Cowboys 26, Pats are 13. So he's giving the Cowboys over the Patriots a win, 26-13. So I could care less. I just want to be able to watch the game, and I want the Cowboys to dominate them. So they could dominate them 7-0 or whatever. I just I want to win with that one. So and I guess that's enough about my Cowboys because I really want to talk about big games. You know what, Brittany? I want to go back and talk before we get some predictions here for college football because I know we're all almost out of time. I want to know your thoughts when you saw Bama losing or that they lost to Texas A&M.
I was shocked. I was shocked. I had a feeling Alabama was going to lose a game because when Alabama loses, it's because Alabama lost the game, not because the other team was that good. I'm not give credit to Texas A&M. It was Texas A&M, but you know, they played hard. They was doing their thing against Alabama, but Alabama was making a lot of mistakes. Yeah, I was a little surprised. I didn't think that loss would come then. I really didn't think that loss would come then. But I know some of our other hosts on the show, you know, they seen it. They seen it coming. I didn't see it coming so soon because they kept saying, no,
I
Georgia's
saw it coming.
Number one, Georgia. I didn't see it coming yet. I didn't see it.
Well, you know, I thought against Florida that them looks acceptable. So if they were playing like that against Florida, I think more than anything, and that is that Bama is young. And Bryce Young, even though he's talented, he's still a young quarterback. So I thought somebody would get him. And It happened to be Jimbo Fisher, who I think is a very smart and talented head coach. And I don't know if I would have predicted they would get him because they're on their second or third quarterback. Their first one went down, you know, with the bad injury. So he's out for the year. So, but anything to get Travis McGee to stop with that roll tide and anything just to lessen that just a little bit. But I could see it coming. Did I predict it would be Texas A&M? No. But the SEC is going to continue to throw some at Alabama. If they don't pick this up, they could lose against Mississippi State. They could lose their last game of the season against Auburn. Yep. Alabama has shown if you cut them, they'll bleed. And I think they are susceptible. But Georgia is the number one team. Georgia is playing Kentucky at home between the hedges against the Wildcats in Athens. Athens, Georgia is playing. Your thoughts about that game quickly?
Georgia. That's all I'm going to say. Going with Georgia. The other team is not winning. Georgia is too dominant, too strong. Mm-hmm. It don't matter who Georgia going against
agree.
Unless it's maybe, yeah, Georgia.
And that makes me sad, but you are so correct. I just think Georgia is that team this year, and they may be the team to go all the way. You know, I think it's going to come down to the SEC championship, and I see Georgia winning the SEC East. I don't see them losing. I think they'll get there undefeated, and they play Florida the weekend of it's always the last Saturday in October. I don't think Florida has – if they didn't have enough to beat Kentucky, they don't have enough to beat Georgia. And Kevin is picking Georgia in that game against Kentucky too. It amazes me because I don't know during my lifetime, and I'm being serious here, that I could say Kentucky is 6-0. I don't think I've seen that. Kentucky 6-0 and undefeated in the conference too. Ole Miss and Tennessee, and the only reason I want to talk about this game, Brittany, and we'll probably end on this, is because Lane Kiffin is going back to Tennessee. And he really left Tennessee in the middle of a mess. He left out in the middle of the night. And I agree with Wilbon, who said that, you know, Lane Kiffin has some kind of shyster in him. He's always left the program worse than when he got there. And him going back with Ole Miss with that high-powered offense with Matt Carroll as his quarterback, he can win that game. Tennessee looks better, but I picked this game because I want to see how Tennessee treats them, and I want to see how this outcome comes. Your thoughts about that?
I think this is going to be a tight one. This is going to be a tough one. I'm going to go with Tennessee, though. I like Tennessee. I'm going to go with Tennessee, see what happens there. I think they're going to take it, but I think it's going to be a pretty close game. I don't think it's going to be a dominant game or anything like that. I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, me too. And our last thing that we want to talk about is the female athlete or woman of the week that we want to talk about. Girl, work that thing for sure. And I'll let you go first and I'll end it. But we're going to do this every week. And that is elevate a female athlete or just a female who's doing what she needs to do to work her magic in this world. And her journey is speaking for itself. Brittany, who do you have this week?
I have the wonderful, the amazing Maya Moore this week. I have to give my kudos, my shout out to her. I know she took a sabbatical from the WNBA, but you have to look at her career when she started in Connecticut, four-time WNBA championship, six-time WNBA all-time WNBA all-star MVP, 2014 WNBA scoring leader, 2011 WNBA rookie of the year, so forth. And then in 2021, if you don't know her story, she received the Arthur Ashe Courage Award for stepping away from a sport that she loves, you know, her career, to really focus on criminal justice reform, where she helped a young man, or he was older, who was wrongfully imprisoned, who's actually now her husband, which is a coincidence.
Yep.
His name is Jonathan Irons. If you don't know his story, please look it up. It's an incredible story. Helped him get out of prison. and she continues to help others in a similar situation with her social action campaign called Win with Justice, and her husband is right helping her as well. So there, if you don't know, this woman is incredible, and I have always been a fan of hers, and I truly respect her.
Yeah. Now, you know, I've been a Maya Moore fan coming out of Columbus, Georgia. I think she won 2 or 3 state championships with Columbus,
yep.
Georgia, and then go on to UConn, and I think she won 2, 3, or 4 there. I'm not sure. They had several undefeated seasons, and then she is drafted, and she's won with the Minnesota Lynx, I think it is.
Lynx.
She's
yep.
won.
Minnesota
yes,
Lynx.
Won some championships there with the WNBA, a champion everywhere she's gone. And I actually watched some of the story about the young man that she actually knew a little bit growing up. And then she got into this story, took a sabbatical, and affected his life. And then he asked her to marry her to marry him while he was still in prison and said, just think about
mm-hmm.
it. And they came full circle. And wherever she found love, and she said it, though, that this was just not the one thing that she wants to do. She wants to be a good pillar of society. I like how she
yep.
she talked about this, and she wanted to always give back. Mine is Candace Parker. I watched Candace Parker when she played for Tennessee Vols and Pat Summitt. I loved her then. I loved her how she, you know, then was drafted by the L.A. Sparks. She has played overseas. And I love the fact that she's now gone back home to Illinois, to Chicago, and she has them in the finals. And they didn't have a good season. They were 500 at best this year, but they
mm-hmm.
have performed in the playoffs, and she has been a part of that. And I like the commercial where they say they call her Ace. I didn't know that,
yep.
you know, but
yes.
won a championship and won Player of the Year, MVP, I think twice. So Candace Parker is my female athlete that I am promoting and just uplifting this week. Go get them, Candace. I want to see you win a championship for your city, for your town. And I like the fact
mm-hmm.
that she comes to the stadium, to the Coliseum in a different shirt from the NFL or for a different athlete, hockey, football,
yep.
whatever. She's repping her city, her state, her you know, I love that. So Candace Parker is mine, and I'm excited that we are continuing to do this. Yeah, you know what?
Exactly.
Kevin said his is Diana Taurasi. Taurasi, I think this
Another.
Is her last year. And she has a stellar career herself coming out of UConn. So, and a shout-out to Diana Taurasi. I think she's been to the Olympics
yes.
and has 4 Olympic golds, you know, national championships at UConn also, and championships within the WNBA, one with the Phoenix Mercury for sure. So thank you, Kevin.
Yes.
I appreciate that, sir.
Absolutely.
And
Three amazing women, 3 inspiring women. So all our young girls out there, follow these 3 young women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Make sure. Look them up. Write about them. Make sure that you understand what their journey is and then create
mm-hmm.
your own. That's it, Brittany. She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. I love Thursdays, Brittany, because I get to hang out with
yes.
you for an hour and talk sports. And
Go
we
Eagles.
Are. You know what? I'm going to watch the game. And I hope that her team it definitely can win this one or at least, you know, look good. Make it competitive. And we'll see you next week, next Thursday at 7 p.m. She Knows Sports with Brittany and Princess. We are out.